Morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Just that I haven't seen some of you since the autumn last year, but am I all right just to move this off to one side? Thank you very much indeed. I'm just concerned that you won't see me behind the thin microphone, so some of you making your own jokes. That's all right, that's okay. It's really lovely to be here with you and to meet some more of the folk from this church here. I met a number of you in the autumn when we were boot camping together. And so it's really lovely to be here. Have any of you got any problems this morning, just out of interest? Any problems? All right, just a few of us. Yeah, the rest are what we call liars. That's all right. No, that's okay. And I think problems are interesting. So I thought we might have a little natter about problems. Some of you are already feeling a bit suicidal, aren't you? But, you know, we've hope. Don't worry, we've got hope. So I thought, what do you do in today's society when you want to find out about things? You Google it. So I Googled problems. And I came up with this little article called The 30 British Problems. So, well, we haven't got time for all 30, so I've selected my top 10. And I thought what we'd do is we'd find out who amongst you here identify with these as problems. Is that all right? I mean, you might as well say yes, because I'm going to do it anyway. So, it's not going to change a great deal. But, so here we go. Let's have a little look. Not quite catching someone's name, meaning you can never speak to them again. Anybody? Show of hands for that one. Okay, loads. It's not too bad in church because you can call them brother or sister, can't you, and get away with it. Okay, so here we go. Realising you've entered the wrong shop and having to pretend to look around for a bit. Anybody done that one? Yeah, good. This will be interesting. I do this loads nearly every time I buy something. Being incapable of placing your items on the counter in a shop without saying, just these, please. Anybody do that one? Okay, a few less of us, but okay. Here we go. Going into a pub. Oh, let me explain what that is because we're in church. It's like Costa, but a bit more pungent, all right? Going into a pub to use the loo and pretending to look for a friend all the way into the toilet. Anybody done that one? Oh, look at that. Shocking. Worrying you'll be suspected a thief if exiting a shop without making a purchase. Anybody do that? Yeah. I have my little stare that I do if that happens to me. And it's like this. But I think makes it look like I've taken something, does it? So I don't know quite whether it's helpful or not. What else have we got? Here we go. Oh, now. Now, don't shout at me or boo me. All right, this is one that I think mainly females will identify. See, you're getting there already. Some of you have not let me finish my sentence. I think this one that females, but I would be interested to see how many blokes suffer from this one as well. Saying you're pleased with your haircut, despite the deep inner sadness it's causing you. Yeah, okay. Just out of interest, any blokes? Any blokes on that one? Yeah, a couple of blokes. That's great. Because you do feel under pressure, don't you? It's like, how's that, madam? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, lovely. And that one? Yeah, happy that side? Yeah, no problem. That, yeah, happy that? Yeah, great. Get out the door. Okay. What else does we... Oh, I love this one. Deeming it necessary to do a little jog over zebra crossings whilst throwing in an apologetic mini wave. Anybody do that? It's like you feel you shouldn't be doing the zebra crossing thing, don't you? Kind of goes a little bit like this, okay? It's a bit like that, isn't it? Sorry about the camp nature of that one, by the way. But, or maybe, one of my friends does this, he goes. Which I kind of favour that one. I've never got the bravery to do that one. Okay, the shock of tasting Earl Grey tea when you expected otherwise. That one, yeah? Yeah. Yes. Attempting, number nine, attempting to deal with a queue jumper by staring fiercely at the back of their head. Anybody do that? Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Really hoping they don't. It's like. And then the last one here, running out of ways to say thank you running out of the ways to say thanks when a succession of doors are held open for you, having already deployed cheers, ta, nice one. Yeah? Anybody relate to that one? It's awkward, isn't it? It's awkward. But I don't know what you see as problems. I mean, they're obviously kind of light-hearted things, but there are problems. It's interesting when you chat to people, because we're all so different, aren't we? That you think it's like, sometimes I see things as problems that other people don't see as problems. Have you noticed that? Like if I've said to somebody, I need to ask your advice because I've got a bit of a problem, and I kind of share it with them, and they don't see it as a problem. And then somebody else might say something to you that they see as a problem and you don't see it as a problem. So I guess problems, they are a little bit subjective. But I want to talk to you about a few problems this morning that I see. And I think actually God sees them as problems as well. But the good news is they're not just problems. We've got some solutions. See, I don't mind problems if I've got solutions, do you? It's when I've got problems with no solutions, then I kind of might get a little bit stressed. But I want to tell you this morning that God does identify a few problems in the world, but he's also got some solutions. And at the end of my talk this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to embrace God's solutions for the problems that he sees. So here's the first one. Science can tell us how we got here, but it can't tell us what we do now we are here. Now, don't get me wrong. I love science. I am not a scientist. Has this come as a major revelation to you this morning? Clearly, it hasn't. A little bit disappointed that you didn't feel it had, but clearly it hasn't. I mean, I love science. I love all things Apple. So I am glad of the science that has informed all things Apple. I think science is absolutely brilliant. So please, I'm not here this morning to kind of like be negative about science. I'm here actually just to help us to understand where science's place is in the world, because sometimes we place a little bit too much emphasis on science. You see, this might not come as any surprise to you, but I was born through no choice of my own. And I'm going to die, hopefully, through no choice of my own. And then I'm kind of like lumbered with 80 years that I've got to make work through all my own choices. Don't you ever feel a bit dumped on? Huh? I did not ask to be here, and now I've got to make this bonkers thing we call life work. So why am I going to stress out about how I got here? I've got all on working out what I do. Now I am here. Does that make sense? Anybody else relate to me? How on earth do we make this thing work? And sometimes science can try to tell us how we got. And listen, we'll all have our debates about that. All I know, well, let me explain it like this. I read this great story, which is a true story, and it was an open-air preacher. Now, for those of you who don't know what an open-air preacher is a preacher that preaches in the open air. I feel that's brought clarity to proceedings and some deep revelation for some of you. And have you heard of Hyde Park Corner, where you've got like the preacher's corner? It's a famous thing. Speaker's corner, forgive me. It's a famous area where, you know, when you stand up to speak, you've got to be prepared to take a little bit of, shall we say, interaction at best. Okay, a lot of heckling goes on. And there's this story told of a preacher who stood up, and he was really bold, and he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart." And he began to quote this sentence from the Bible. And a heckler replied, "That's rubbish. Science has proved that the human heart is just a pump." The preacher came up with one of those replies that you or I would think about a fortnight later. All right, you know those, don't you? He said, "Are you married?" The man said, "Yes." To which the preacher said, then go home and tell your wife you love her with all your pump. Isn't that a great story? I love it, don't you? I mean, imagine that. Imagine that. I knock on the door at home and, darling Emma, I want you to know I love you with all my pump. It's a funny way of handing in divorce papers, isn't it, that one, eh? She's like, clear off, I love you with all my pump. No, I love this because actually if you try to explain what the heart is scientifically, or just look at it without any real kind of understanding of what life's about, it basically is that, isn't it? It's a pump that pumps blood around the body, and I'm not going to seek to explain anything more about that because it might just show my ignorance of anything to do with it. But if there's no real purpose for us to be here, if we weren't meant to be here, then actually all we are is just a load of pieces of stuff that interact with each other. And we can relegate ourselves just to simply our heart being a pump. But that little sentence that preacher was starting to talk about, which that heckler then jumped in with, let me tell you the rest of the sentence. Because for me, this helps me understand why I am here. This helps me get a glimpse of what it is that I'm meant to do and meant to be now I'm here on planet Earth. Taken straight out of the Bible, it says, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might. That's it. That's what we're here for. That's the intention of our existence. That's what we're meant to do. There was a time in my life when I arrived at a particular point, and my dad arrived at that point, and my mum and my brothers and my sisters, where we realized that actually what it was all about, this world, is loving God with everything that we've got. And just as a caveat and further explain, unpack rather that little chunk of sentences that this comes from, we've been reminded about the other side of the plate this morning, and you are to love your neighbor as your love yourself. By the way, little bit of Bible teaching. I don't do this very often. For those of you familiar with the Bible, the New Testament part of the Bible from which that comes was originally written in Greek with a smattering of Aramaic. And the Greek for love your neighbor as yourself actually means love your neighbor for he is as you are. In other words, we're all in the same boat. So let's love each other because we're all in exactly the same place. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And me and my family, we arrived in that point. My dad classed himself as an atheist. He believed that the human body was just a pump and some glorified mechanics. And he called himself a lazy atheist because he decided there was no God, but he couldn't really be bothered to find out whether it was true or not. Which I think is a really honest kind of definition of what you are. But then he realized that there has to be more to life than this. Just your body kind of working and pumping blood around your heart. And then you die mainly through no choice of your own. And kind of within a few years, everybody forgets about you. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the purpose. I arrived at a point in my life where I said to God, it's my intention to love you with all my heart, soul, strength, and might. Now, I want to say to you, I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. And there are times when you might look at my life and say, did you really ever say that to God? I'm just being really honest with you. I realize that I'm amongst a group of perfect people here this morning. And so I'm realizing that I'm kind of an anomaly here this morning. Some of you are thinking, yeah, you are, but not just for that reason, to be honest with you. We're not perfect, are we? We're really not perfect. And I don't always get stuff right. But there was an intention in my heart in 1982 when I said to God, God, I want to live for you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I had lived my life in such a way that God had no place. I'd left him out. I'd done my own thing. And many of us have done our own thing and left God out. If you're here this morning, I want to say to you, becoming a Christian is not signing up to becoming perfect. He's signing up to say, do you know what, I'm going to give it my best shot, but actually what really, really matters is God has done everything that is needed to be done for me to connect with him. He's the one that's reached out to me, to us as human beings. And knowing we can't live up to it, we say, God, I want to ask your forgiveness. We reach a point in our life where we say, God, do you know what? I want to really discover why I'm here as a human being. You see, when we live without God, we're disconnected from him. We're separated from him. We can't experience him. But becoming a Christian is all about reversing that and understanding that God has a purpose for your life. He intended you to be here, and we function best and reach our maximum fulfillment when God's in first place. And we do that by saying, God, I'm taking myself off first place in my life, and I'm submitting to living life your way. So science can tell us how we got here, but it can't tell us or help us to know what we do now we are here. Medicine can cure the physical, but it can't cure the spiritual. Anybody got any ailments here this morning? Yeah, lovely. I've got a few ailments. Would you like to hear about me ailments? I love the way some of you going, no. Some of you going, yeah. I've got a few ailments this morning. I really have. I came across this bunch of, I don't know if these are true, but they're presented as true. So these are actual sentences typed by medical secretaries in the NHS Greater Glasgow about various patients' problems. Here we go. Patient has left her white blood cells at another hospital. That's good, isn't it? It's very careless, that, isn't it? Very careless. Patient's medical history has been remarkably insignificant, with only a 40-pound weight gain in the past 3 days. Love that. Probably just mistyped this stuff, haven't they? Patient has chest pain if she lies on her left-hand side for over a year. I love that. Patient is tearful and crying. She also appears to be depressed. Years of medical research have proven that. I love that. On the second day, the knee was better, and on the third day, it disappeared. She is numb from her toes down. Hey, imagine that. Numb from your toes down. Love it. Any parent here got teenage children? All right, you will love this. Patient has 2 teenage children, but no other abnormalities. Eh? It's great, isn't it? She slipped on the ice and apparently her legs went in separate directions in early December. It's great, isn't it? It's great. Maybe a little bit of proofreading might not go amiss in these particular things. But illnesses are crazy, aren't they? And, they can just suddenly come. And I had a little bit of a shock in December when suddenly I went for my blood pressure tested and they told me it was 220 over 118. That's quite high for those of you who don't know. Okay? So illnesses are weird. And I have the utmost respect for anybody who works in medicine. Honestly, if you work in medicine, I know what you have to cope with. I watch Accident and Emergency in 24 hours. It's one of my favourite programmes. Anybody here love Embarrassing Bodies, that programme? A few fans of Embarrassing, it's great, isn't it? I love it, it's absolutely brilliant. So illnesses kind of happen and they come and go, and medicine does this amazing stuff to cure the physical. But the problem is, medicine can cure the physical, but it can't even begin to touch the spiritual. That's something that medicine can't do. A physical thing cannot touch a spiritual thing. When I was growing up, and I'm new to the Christian faith, I used to hear this sentence being talked about. You can enter heaven with a sick body, but you can't enter heaven with a sick soul. You see, there is a spiritual illness. It's what I talked about a few moments ago. It's caused and created by living life our own way and leaving God out. If you spend any time in church, you might hear a word mentioned, and that word basically means the sickness of the soul. It's the word sin. You might have heard it even this morning. And basically that is when we don't do what God wants, it does mess up our soul, and nothing medical can cure that. It's a spiritual thing. But here's the good news. Jesus was known as the great physician, not because he could cure the physical only, though he could, but mainly because he could cure what was incurable, the spiritual. Now, for those of you who are used to attending church, you're probably starting to twitch because I haven't referenced a large number of sentences from the Bible just yet. And you're starting to twitch. So I'm going to do that now. For those of you who are familiar with the Bible, who know your way around it, if you'd like to have a little look at this, it's Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you want to have a little look at that, you can. And it's this amazing story about Jesus who'd been kind of going about doing what Jesus did, which is pretty amazing, really. I mean, it's worth, if you've never looked into what Jesus was like as a person, if you're here today and you only really know about maybe his birth at Christmas and maybe you know a little bit about his death or his resurrection, you might have heard about those at Easter, and you've never really looked at the life of Jesus, I want to encourage you. He is an incredible person. He just seemed to get it right. And he did some incredible stuff, like he brought healing to people, he forgave people, he liberated people, he brought value to people that society didn't often bring value to. He was the most loving, caring, sensitive person that ever graced our planet. And one of the things that Jesus said, and for those of you who are looking at those words, you can see it. Jesus talks about the fact that it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, waiting in a doctor's surgery, sometimes you do wonder whether people are ill. But actually they go because they're not healthy. They need a doctor. And Jesus himself said, I haven't come to call the righteous, which is all those people who think they don't need any help. Jesus said, I've come to call all those people who know to follow me, to turn away from living life without me. And that, by the way, is every one of us. Every one of us needs Jesus, this incredible physician, to heal our spiritual sickness. Every single one of us needs that, because it's that spiritual thing that stops us connecting with God. Now, I have noticed about God, he does things, he's a bit of a maverick. He doesn't do things the way I want him to do things. Sometimes I can't get my head around how God does stuff. And I'm kind of okay about that, because if I could get my head around him, he wouldn't be God. So I'm all right. I've done that journey a long time ago. I love the fact that there are quite a lot of things about God I am going, oh, I don't know how that works. I haven't got a clue how that works. Because if I could understand him, he wouldn't be that impressive, and therefore he wouldn't be that good a God. So I need Mark Greenwood. I need to not understand certain things about him. I'll grapple with them. And I read this great story. I think it's true. I really want it to be true. But I don't know if it is for definite, but I think it might be. But let me read it. He said, Brenda made an appointment to see her doctor because she was worried about her husband's bad temper. Dr. Thomas asks, what's the problem? Brenda said, doctor, I don't know what to do. Every day my husband Jimmy seems to lose his temper for no reason. It's beginning to scare me. The doctor said, I have a cure for that. When it seems that Jimmy is getting angry, just take a glass of water and start swishing it in your mouth. Just swish and swish, but don't swallow it until he either leaves the room or calms down. So, 2 weeks later, Brenda returned to the doctor, looking really happy. Brenda said, doctor, that was a brilliant idea. Every time my husband started losing it, I just swished with water. I swished and swished and he calmed right down. How does a glass of water do that? Dr. Thomas says. Well, the water itself does nothing, said the doctor. It's keeping your mouth shut that does the trick. Eh? Eh? Now, just for equality's sake, it can work the other way round as well. Got to be careful in today's society. 10 years ago, I might not have qualified that, but now I feel I should. A little bit. I don't know whether that's true. See, you want it to be true, right? You really, really want it to be true. See, here's the deal. God knows exactly what the problem is. He knows exactly what the problem is. He knows what the problem, the root of our problem in our life is. And God knows that if he can heal us spiritually and cure us spiritually, But in terms of our own lives, that'll make the difference. The diagnosis is bad. Spiritual sickness has a diagnosis, which is separation from God now and forever. But the prognosis is good. The prognosis is good. You see, how did Jesus cure our spiritual? 2,000 years ago, he left heaven. He came down onto our planet. He did these amazing things. Honestly, that's why I encourage you to look into the life of Jesus. He did these phenomenal things. And then the Bible tells us he was put on a cross, all part of God's plan. And that when Jesus was on the cross, he was taking the punishment for the wrong of our lives. The things that you and I have done that were wrong, Jesus was taking the punishment for all of those. I don't understand it all, but I just know it works. And when he took the punishment, the Bible tells us he died, and then 3 days later, he came back alive. Jesus died so we could be forgiven, but he came back alive so we could live. I mean, that is brilliant news. That is great news. Christian, if you're here this morning and you're struggling a little bit in your life, just remember this one thing this morning, that Jesus died for you and came back alive for you so you could be forgiven and you could live. Declutter everything out of it. But if you're here this morning at this particular moment in time, you're not a Christian. And being a Christian is somebody who's literally just said yes to God. I don't want to live my life without you anymore. I want to live it with you. I want to open my life up to you. And with your power, I'll live life the way you want me to live it. Becoming a Christian is about saying that that's the starting point. It's not that you've arrived. That's the starting point where you go on to begin to discover what it's really, really all about. And in just a few moments, as I come to the end of my talk, I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you're here today and never fully received God, to do it for yourself this morning. And by the way, God doesn't need a consultant. He's the specialist. He doesn't look at our problem and think, ooh, better get a few people around me. You know, what's your opinion? He knows exactly. He's the specialist. He knows exactly what the situation is in our lives, and that's why he can give us the exact cure. So science can tell us how we got it, but it can't tell us what we do now we are here. Medicine can cure the physical, but it can't cure the spiritual. And finally, and just by means of drawing to a conclusion this morning, religion can tell us what to do, but it can't help you do it. Religion can tell us what to do, but it can't help you do it. How do you fancy one more story? Are you up for one more story? Good, 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 good. Again, I don't know whether this is true, but again, I really want it to be true. He said, I read it a few years ago and I loved it. So the couple had two little boys aged 8 and 10. And they were excessively mischievous. I always been really naughty. In fact, if anything happened, it was probably them that were involved. Yeah, that's what history showed. So they were quite naughty and quite mischievous. And the parents were at their wit's end. How many of you know what that feels like? Yeah, when you think, do you know what? We've tried everything. It ain't working. What else do we do? And the parents were at their wit's end about what they were going to do about their son's behavior. And then the mum heard that there was a new clergyman who'd arrived in town, a new vicar, who had got a track record of helping children that were like that. And he seemed to be quite successful with this. And so they thought, well, let's give it a try. Let's give it a whirl because we've got nothing else to offer. We don't know what else to do. So they contact the clergyman and the husband said, well, we might as well. And they contacted him and they booked an appointment. And the day arrived, it took the 8-year-old boy down to meet him first, and clergyman sat him down in his study and looked at him and said, where is God? Well, the little boy didn't know what to answer. He was a little bit confused. The clergyman just thought, I'll ramp it up a little bit. Where is God? Well, the little child, the 8-year-old, he was getting proper freaked out now. And then the clergyman asked one more time, this time even louder, where is God, at that, the 8-year-old boy leapt out of the chair, ran back to his own home, past his parents, locked himself in the stairs, the cupboard underneath the stairs. The 10-year-old boy had heard him come back in screaming and wailing and said, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" Went down to the stairs, to the cupboard, shouted, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" The 8-year-old boy said, "We are in big trouble now." Why? God's missing and they think we've done it. I love it. I love it. God's missing and they think we've done it. God's not. God's missing and it's all down to us. I mean, oh my goodness. And yet, you know what the truth is? Actually, if God is missing from your life, it is purely down to us. Because he wants to be a part of your life. He wants to come up close to you. This morning, he wants to know you. He wants to show you how much he cares for you and how much he loves you and how much you mean to him. And sometimes, even those of us who've been Christians for many, many years, sometimes it's not that God's left us, but we can maybe have forgotten where we put him. We're not kind of quite in the relationship. That happens to me. I'm sure it happens to you. I think it probably happens to every single human being. There's times I can look at my life and I can know exactly where God is. But there's times I can look at my life and it's not that obvious, and that's not God's fault. That's down to me, or circumstances, or situations, or just life sometimes. How many of you know that? Things just happen, those of you who've been Christians, and you can't place your finger on maybe where things went wrong, but God doesn't seem to be there. He seems to be missing, but he is there. But it might be that you're here this morning and you've never arrived at that point where you've got God in there. There's a lovely little sentence in the Bible. I think it's fantastic. For those of you familiar with your Bible, if you want to write the reference down, it's 2 Corinthians 5:19. You'll know it really well. Just simply says, "I am a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." The old has gone, the new has come. You see, do you know what? If God's missing, Christianity is just a religion. Only God can give you the power to live the way he wants you to live. One of the beautiful things that happens when you become a Christian, God comes and lives inside you. We call this the Holy Spirit. Comes and lives inside you and empowers you to be the person that actually you want to be. But he empowers you to be the person that he wants you to be. And things take on a whole different focus. It's not like, "Oh, I mustn't do that." It's actually, "Do you know what? I don't want to do that." It's not like, "I must do that." It's, "No, I want to do that." There's a change of focus. Why? Because you become a whole new person. It's not that your characteristics change and you're unrecognizable. No, you're still the you, but there's just this extra something kicks in. And it's God's presence igniting your life. Why? Because he's been able to clean you up inside in the spiritual place. He's been able to give you purpose for living. And that's what becoming a Christian is partly about. Connecting with God, following him, and understanding he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Are you going to be perfect from that moment on? No. Not at all. Not at all. When I became a Christian, didn't make me better than anybody else, but it certainly made me better than I would have otherwise been. And that's the wonderful thing that takes place. If you're here this morning, I want to encourage you to say yes to God. Yes to God. I wonder if we might just pause for a few moments and pray and reflect. In just a few moments' time, I'm going to hand back over to Rob and we're going to sing another song. But I'd like to just create a few moments this morning to give you an opportunity to do what I've mentioned a couple of times through my talk, and that is to become a Christian in the real sense of the word, to give your life over to God. And there's three ways I would encourage you here this morning to respond. First of all is to say a big yes to God. Saying a big yes to God means that you're saying to God, "God, I don't want to live life without you anymore. I want to live it with you." Saying yes to God means that you embrace his forgiveness and his life through what Jesus did. Saying yes to God means that with his help you commit to turning away from living life without him to living life with him. If you're here this morning, and just while every eye's closed, if you're here this morning and you've never said yes to God, why don't you just where you are now, not out loud, but just in the stillness and quietness of your own heart and mind, why don't you right now say yes, God? All it takes is one heartfelt yes. Yes, God. If that's you, you've never said yes to God in that personal way, then just where you are, just say those words to him right now. Yes, God. Yes, God. And he'll hear you. And my prayer for you is that as you say yes to God right now, you'll understand that you can do so because he's already said yes to you. Might be that you're here this morning and you're saying to me, Mark, if I'm really honest, I'm not in that place where I can say that big yes to God. I wonder whether you might say what I call a little yes. A little yes is about making an intentional decision to find out more. It could be that you're saying it to God. It might simply be that you're saying it to yourself. But you know that you need to look into it. Investigate. And so if that's you and you're here this morning, and you're not ready to go all out and say that big yes to God, why don't you make that decision to make an intentional decision to find out more? And even for you, why don't you just in your own heart and mind say, I'm saying a little yes. Yeah, I'm going to say a little yes, whether it's to yourself or to God. Why don't you just in the stillness and quietness that we have here say a little yes to God or to yourself? Might be that you're here this morning and you're saying to me, Mark, I'm not really ready to say a big yes or a little yes. I wonder whether I might be able to invite you this morning to either become or to make a decision to remain open-minded about God. It's what I call a healthy maybe. Maybe there's something in this Christianity. Maybe there's something in this God. Would you be prepared this morning to say, do you know what? I'm going to become or I'm going to make a decision to remain open-minded about it. And just maybe occasionally you could have a little look into it. It's what I call a healthy maybe. It's not just a maybe that dissipates, but yeah, I'm going to make that healthy. And so if that's you this morning, why don't you just say inwardly, I'm a healthy maybe, or I'm going to become a healthy maybe. And then just before I pray for us all, sometimes I feel it's appropriate to invite people who once walked with God but have slipped away. You might have even been coming to church through all of that time. And sometimes we just have to arrest these moments and do what I call say yes again. Yes again. So that's you here this morning and you've just slipped away. Why don't you say yes again to God this morning and put your life back in his hands? Not that you've ever left them, but it's about you making that acknowledgement. Yes again. So, Father God, I pray for us all this morning that what we've heard this morning will really have impacted us. But, Lord, I pray for those people who've either said a big yes, a little yes, a healthy maybe, or a yes again, that, Lord, they'll be able to look back to this moment in time as being a really important day in their journey with you. And, Father, I pray that you'd help them to know that you love them, you care for them, and that by following you, we not only get real purpose in life, but actually we're enabled to connect with you, which is just so wonderful. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stand on the door, not the first door here, but the one near the main door. I've got a little booklet that I've written called The Journey If you're here this morning and said a big yes, let yes, healthy maybe, or yes again, I'd love to get one of these booklets to you. It's completely free of charge. If it's okay with you, there's a little card in the back. If you would be okay to fill that in so I can give it to the church here to help you, that would be great. One box said, I said yes to God. The other box says, I'd like to find out more. You tick whichever box you feel is appropriate for you. If you don't want to fill that in, that's fine. Still come and get the booklet anyway. And if you're really shy and just think, oh, I don't know whether I can approach him, just turn to somebody that you know and say, oh, go and get me one of them booklets from Mark, and just hope and pray like mad that they're not shy as well. Okay, otherwise we're all in the shtuck. But it's been lovely to be here with you this morning, but let me encourage you to get that booklet to help you on the next phase of your journey. Thanks so much for listening. It's been lovely to be with you. God bless. Thank you.